VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Well, it's no surprise, ladies and gentlemen, but from the very first day in office, President Trump was targeted. He was targeted by those who espoused a globalist agenda, a deep state agenda, who, like Hillary on election night, were stunned that plans to advance their agenda had now some opposition. I mean, there was a great disinformation campaign that was seeking to stop President Trump even from receiving the nomination, and then to discredit him after he did receive the nomination, seeking somehow to tie Donald Trump to Russia, to that they were somehow involved in collusion. I mean, day after day, it was dominant in the national news, but was found to be false. But who was behind this? Who was orchestrating the actions? We're going to get into some of those issues here today. It's our privilege to have with us R. Court Kirkwood, the contributing writer to The New American, a former newspaper editor as well. Court, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Well, thanks for having me.
This whole thing is really kind of like a soap opera. I mean, from Adam Schiff and all that was going on with those hearings, everything else. But if we could just maybe take a moment, first of all, to identify the relevant major players in the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, or should we say the disinformation hoax, what names should we know? What names should our listeners know?
Well, of course, you the key name to know is Hillary Clinton. That's number one on the list. And then there are the lesser actors, her campaign. This attorney for her campaign has been indicted by John Durham for lying to the FBI. Then there's
that would be Michael Sussman,
correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for the purposes of the story I did this week, those are the two. That's the name you really need to know.
Mm-hmm.
There's also there are obviously other people that are involved, but the key thing to know about this is that this fellow went, told the FBI, this gentleman,
Sussman,
told the FBI when they interviewed him, I was not working for anyone, and that was not true. He was working for the Clinton campaign, and he, along with other anti-Trump people, tried to compile information, or did compile information, about a supposed collusion between Trump and the Russians. And none of it was true. It was all passed to them by other individuals, but none of it was true. And mm-hmm. this is the really remarkable thing, that we had, I don't know how many months of coverage just before the 2016 election and going into the Trump presidency. Just the drumbeat was remarkable.
Yeah.
And none of it was true.
Yeah. So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
So Michael Sussman is alleged by Durham to have lied about this hoax, and he is denying, as you said, that he was working for the Clinton campaign. But don't billing records tell a different story here?
Yes, that's what. See, what occurred this week that has many, you know, people upset, and not just pro-Trump people, but honest journalists. Like Glenn Greenwald, you know, he's certainly no right winger. The latest that has people upset is a filing from Durham that reprises many of the allegations in the indictment, in the original indictment, which was in September.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really, in some sense, not all that much that's brand new. It's just that this latest filing sort of reprises and repeats what's in the indictment, and the media has been singularly uninterested in it.
Yeah. You know, it's reported, and I was looking at a number of various stories in preparation for the program today, but it's reported that as to ABC, CBS, and NBC, that the network spent more than 2,600 minutes on the Trump-Russia narrative, you know, as that was going on leading up to the campaign, afterwards, and so forth, while nary a word on this Durham report. I guess this morning NBC did refer to this as having unproven claims, and they went on to give Hillary's response. But I think what's telling is this.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead and respond to that, and then I'll continue.
Well, what I was going to say was, well, yes, well, all indictments are unproven claims until a person's convicted.
Right, right.
But they certainly would not be stressing that these are unproven claims, and they certainly were not stressing that the original Trump-Russia collusion story were unproven claims.
Right.
When the media was covering that story, they were unspooling a narrative that they claimed was absolute concrete truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're saying, oh, these are just unproven claims. Well, this is a federal indictment.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting, too, because this is print media as well, and a New York Times reporter explained why they and nearly every major media outlet is ignoring the story. They say that Durham's claims, quote, tend to involve dense and obscure issues, so dissecting them requires asking readers to expend significant mental energy and time raising the question of whether news outlets should cover such claims. In other words, what they're saying here, Court, this is too hard for our readers to understand. They're going to have to expend
right.
mental energy in thinking through this.
Right. That's not exactly an argument I'd want to be making if I were the New York Times. My readers are too stupid to understand this.
Yeah.
Therefore, we're not going to publish. Well, they certainly weren't too stupid to understand the original Trump-Russia collusion narrative.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't too stupid to understand the barrage of stories that we got about Robert Mueller, and who found nothing, who turned up nothing on Trump. They weren't too stupid to understand that.
Not at all.
You know, they weren't too stupid to understand the 300 stories they did about the Duke lacrosse case.
Hmm.
That was complicated legal stuff.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, they were the new. You know, I don't know. Maybe the IQ of the average New York Times reader has collapsed since they were explaining the complex legal issues in the Watergate case.
Hmm. On that issue, do you believe this is larger than Watergate?
Well, I don't know if it's larger than Watergate. I think it's more. Well, it certainly could be more serious than Watergate.
Hmm.
I mean, if you had a presidential, it's certainly the equivalent of Watergate. You had a presidential campaign trying to torpedo the campaign of another candidate,
mm-hmm.
and then tried to ruin his presidency.
Yeah,
with information that was assembled by a British spy that was completely false.
This Michael Sussman really had a mission. I mean, his mission was that to smear Trump. I mean, isn't that the bottom line?
Well, according to the indictment, it sure sounds like it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole point of the filing the other day, which, again, the filing that Durham made last Friday is not about the particulars of the... it's only about the particulars of the Trump-Russia collusion hoax because there's a very abstruse, complex legal matter that has to do with conflict of interest involving Michael Sussman's attorneys.
Hmm.
And so, but all the material in the filing about what Sussman did and what the tech companies did and what all these researchers and analysts that were working for this tech company were doing, all that material we already knew, and that is they were trying to assemble a narrative that tied Trump to the Russians. And the funny thing is that well, not the funny thing, but the amazing thing about this is that we've known this for some time. Mm-hmm. As you recall, the director of national intelligence a couple of years ago told us that U.S. intelligence agencies, quote, had obtained insight into Russian intelligence analysis, alleging that presidential candidate Clinton had approved a campaign to stir up a scandal against Trump by tying him to Putin and the Russians. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we knew this. And this whole plan that the Clinton campaign had to smear Trump was known to the Obama administration, which raises the question of what did Biden know, when did he know it, to quote Howard Baker mm-hmm. in Watergate. And this is all in Brennan's notes, handwritten notes that were released last year. So we've known this for some time. It was just a matter of getting the indictments, and we have the indictment on Sussman and the indictment on the Russian clarinetist Igor Danchenko, who was the man supplying all the manufactured dirt on Trump to Christopher Steele, who in turn was working for a cutout who was employed by the Clinton campaign. So all this has been known for some time. Yeah. I mean, it was just, you know, but we now have indictments for people who lied, or the indictment alleges they lied, to the FBI. Now, you know, Sussman has not been found guilty yet, and neither is Danchenko, but those indictments are out there.
So you're talking about this high-tech involvement, and I know the news came indicating that Hillary Clinton's campaign paid technology experts to infiltrate the servers at Trump Towers.
That's infiltrate. I don't know that. I think that, I think the safest thing to do when you're discussing this is to read exactly what the indictments, well, let's just go with this filing. This is what it says.
Tell you what, I'm just about 5 seconds from a break, so okay. let's take the break so we're not interrupted, because this is important. Like you say, let's go back to the documents and see what they say. We're talking with Court Kirkwood. He's a contributing writer to The New American. By the way, the website, thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. We're talking about the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, circling back to the Clinton campaign. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what kind of life lives in the deep ocean?
Chris, we're just now beginning to explore the deep ocean. Recently, a very exotic form of life was discovered around seafloor vents, where superheated water bubbles out from the interior of the Earth into the cold oceans. There's no light down there, but submarines have discovered much life around these vents. Evolutionists are quick to point out that this must be the kind of life that was the original life billions of years ago, but not so fast. Recent research projects have shown that these pods of life around the seafloor vents are not old in any sense. They may be only a few thousand years old, not billions as required by evolution. And they certainly didn't spring to life from non-living chemicals. If it's living, God created it, and He did so back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Court Kirkwood, our guest here today, contributing writer to The New American, and certainly has just written a very insightful article, Durham Filing Reprises Truth About Trump-Russian Collusion Hoax. It was a Clinton campaign smear job. That's the headline. We're discussing that here today on Crosstalk. And, Court, we were just going into that break and wanted to, as we talked about the technology experts and so forth, and I had used the word infiltrate, take us right back to the narrative as to what is said.
There's three things that are very clear in the filing. One, the defendant, that's Sussman. Okay, and just to reprise and to repeat what we had said in the previous segment, Sussman has been indicted for lying to the FBI. This is directly out of the filing. The defendant had assembled and conveyed the allegations to the FBI on behalf of at least two specific clients, including a tech executive, an internet company, and the Clinton campaign. The second excerpt, the tech executive in question tasked these researchers to mine internet data to establish an inference and a narrative tying then candidate Trump to Russia. The executive said he was seeking to please certain VIPs, referring to individuals at a law firm and the Clinton campaign. There's a Clinton campaign again.
Mm-hmm.
The tech executive's company, employer, had come to access and maintain dedicated servers for the executive office of the president as part of a sensitive arrangement whereby it provided resolution services to the EOP. And his associates exploited this arrangement by mining DNS traffic and other data for the purpose of gathering derogatory information about Donald Trump.
Mining.
And then there's more about very complicated tech stuff about Russian-made wireless phones in the vicinity of the White House that Trump and his associates were using. And this is what it says about that. The special counsel's office has identified no support for these allegations that Trump's people were using Russian-made phones. So those are three key passages from this filing. If you want more details about it, you can go back and read the original indictment.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the media is not focused on that either.
No,
because I mean, think about how ridiculous they would be making themselves look if they were to begin focusing seriously. Of other interest is that Biden's national security advisor was the one pushing this on behalf of Clinton's campaign.
This now we're talking about Jake Sullivan, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So
in terms of the media, I think what Greenwald said is important. The alphabet media, New York Times, CNN, NBC, their access, quote, flooded the zone every time Robert Mueller scratched his nose. They spent hours and hours deciphering his every sneeze. Actual criminal indictments from Durham of Hillary's loyal FBI operatives, crimes that created Russiagate, barely merit an article. And that's what's remarkable to me. I mean, so when the New York Times reported the other day that one reason for not really covering this filing is that it has some old news in it. Well, that is not untrue. Claim is not necessarily untrue, but it's a weak excuse because they haven't been covering these filings that much anyway.
Right.
And as you just read, our readers are too stupid to understand it.
Yes. And it's interesting.
I mean, maybe that's true because probably most of the readers probably voted for Biden, so maybe they are stupid. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The last couple of years, I think as like media research council is reported, I think only like five or six times there's even been a mention of this. Just hardly. And again, compared to the thousands of minutes that they devoted perpetrating the hoax.
Oh yes, it's terrible. I mean, it's a major media scandal.
Mm-hmm.
The remarkable, going back to what we were saying before, one of the remarkable things about this scandal is the absolute certitude that Trump was a Russian asset. He was a Russian agent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Clinton was even calling Tulsi Gabbard a Russian agent. Mm. I don't know if you recall that. She called Tulsi Gabbard a Russian asset. Anybody who opposed Clinton is a Russian asset. Anybody now who doesn't want war in Ukraine is pro-Russian. You know? So that's one of the more remarkable things about all this is the certitude with which the major media attack Trump as being absolutely guilty. And with this, you know, they just throw their hands up and say, oh, nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here at all. Nothing to see.
Is it possible that Michael Sussman is just a fall guy?
I gather you mean a patsy like Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah, well,
a patsy.
I mean, just a fall guy for Hillary Clinton?
There are certain people they will let swing, that is for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether he's a patsy or not. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. If he's the one who sat in an interview with the FBI and tried to cover this up, mm-hmm. That charge is proven in court. If Durham proves that charge, well, I don't know how you call him a patsy. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say he's taken he's taken one for the team. Clinton's never going to go to jail for this. I mean, we know that. I mean, she's never going to go to jail.
Well, I mean, her husband was, known as a Teflon president. She is criticized, both former President Trump and Fox News. She calls it desperately spinning up a fake scandal to distract from his real ones. As I said, Bill Clinton, known as a Teflon president, does that Teflon apply to her, too?
Hillary Clinton is one slippery operator. You know, she got booted off. I think she was an aide on one of the Watergate committees or a Watergate committee. I think she got fired. I think she lost her job there, and it was for being dishonest, as I recall. She's a real nasty piece of work. She's not an honest person in any way, shape, or form, mm-hmm. and neither obviously are her campaign torpedoes who were purposely trying, as the Obama administration knew, purposely trying to, as they said, stir up a scandal to destroy Trump's campaign.
Just today, attorneys campaign lawyer, the Clinton campaign lawyer, Michael Sussman, filed a motion to dismiss the case against the Durham investigation, calling it extraordinary prosecutorial overreach. Your reaction to that?
The charge is that he lied. I don't know why that would be prosecutorial overreach. They're saying that he lied in an interview mm-hmm. with the FBI, and they presented the evidence. I don't know why that would be overreach. So I don't really have a reaction to it. Yeah. I mean, that's patently silly. Either he lied or he didn't.
You know, I also find it interesting that the White House, Jen Psaki and team, they don't have a problem responding to just about anything. But Monday of this week, at the press conference that was taking place at the White House, and the deputy press secretary was filling in, but they were asked questions on this, and they would not respond. Matter of fact, they just kept referring, you need to go to the Department of Justice for this, have to go to the Department of Justice. Does this issue have them scared?
Hard to say. You know, it might have I don't know if they're scared. They might be a little worried about it because they have to deal with it. Like I said, I don't know. You know, they might convict Sussman. They might convict this guy, Danchenko. I mean, are they ever really going to go after the big fish?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look. Hillary Clinton got away with using a private email server to send and receive classified emails. And as you recall, she was not brought to book for that because, as they said at the time, she did not intend to break the law.
Intend.
She did not intend to break the law. I mean, think about that for a minute. So
I didn't intend to pull a trigger. I didn't intend to speed. I didn't intend
exactly.
to steal.
I didn't, you know. Yeah, you know, when I was shooting that .22 off in my backyard, plinking of pumpkins, I didn't intend for it to go through the neighbor's window and kill the lady standing at her sink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So is there any possibility that this could go any farther and really bring down the real operators behind this? And what are the chances that, I mean, seriously, I'll ask you a question. What do you think the chances are that Jake Sullivan could be, or anybody, Clinton Sullivan, any of these top people could be indicted for what they did?
You know, as we were just talking about, the Teflon-ness of the Clintons and associates, it really leaves one wonder if there are two different systems of justice here in this nation.
Well, there are, because I guarantee you it would be almost impossible for any other person. Well, mm-hmm. let's look at another person named Trump. Look how they went after him. They tried to get him, and they couldn't.
Right. More than once.
In fact, they tried to get him. They couldn't. They're now going after small fry, like Sussman. When does the special counsel start going after Clinton? Maybe he will. Maybe he will. But so far, it's just Sussman and this Danchenko person.
You know, it's
maybe he will eventually be able to, you know, start pulling some threads, and it'll all unravel, and they will nail Clinton. But I'm not holding my breath.
It doesn't seem plausible to think that the Obama administration nor Biden himself, that they were not aware of what was going on.
Well, we already know they were aware of what was going on. It was in Brennan's handwritten notes. He was a CIA director. It was in his handwritten notes that intelligence agencies had gotten wind of this crazy plan. We already know that. You know, the only question is, again, you know, well, what did Sleepy Joe know, and when did he know it?
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Court Kirkwood is our guest, and we're opening phone lines. Your questions, your brief comments on this issue today are numbered to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. I mean, we're talking about that collusion hoax, now circling back to the Clinton campaign. 800-733-9829. We'll be back in a minute.
Do you find yourself guilty of committing the same sin over and over again? You confess it, but you find yourself repeating it again. The Bible tells us that we are to mortify or put to death the deeds of the flesh. For believers, this becomes a daily challenge as the internal struggles ensue. Sadly, many fall into repeating patterns of sin and struggle sincerely with knowing how to break free. In the book, Killing Sin Habits, author Stuart Scott addresses the repetitive nature and pattern of sin and the hindrances that keep people from overcoming their sinful habits. He also provides practical insight as to how God, through the work of the Holy Spirit and radical faith, can help you have victory over sin in your life. He addresses the issue of genuine repentance and provides a detailed battle plan for killing sin habits in our lives. The booklet, Killing Sin Habits, is available for a donation of $12 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today is R. Court Kirkwood. And, folks, you can read his article that yesterday was put out in Digest on the New American. Go to thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. You can sign up for their daily emails there and certainly read his report on this very aspect. And you can go again to thenewamerican.com. Troubling information, and just our lines are packed out right now. We'll get to them in just a moment. But let me ask you this, if I could, Court. President Trump is saying that Justice Department, he said they should absolutely declassify all remaining records pertaining to this issue. You agree with him? That's a good idea? Declassify everything? Let the public know?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because he, you know, it was Trump himself that declassified the material last year that included the notes from Brennan that showed that Clinton was behind the Russia collusion hoax.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we should declassify everything. Who knows what you're going to find out? There's no reason not to declassify. I mean, what could be the possible reason not to declassify it?
Hmm. Yeah, unless you want something to be covered up.
You want something to be hidden.
Let's go to Seth from Marblehead, Ohio. You're on the air, Seth.
Yeah, I just had a real quick question. I did hear that Hillary's, or this indictment, I guess, against Sussman and such, was based on the fact that there was a third-party company that was listening to these this traffic, and the campaign actually obtained that information. Is that correct?
There was a third party company that was, as I just read from the excerpt, that was gathering internet data in the effort to smear Trump. Yes.
The word was mining. They were mining that data. Yeah.
Right. They were mining that data. Yes.
Correct. And the Clinton campaign obtained that. Is that correct? Through some means.
He's asking.
I didn't hear your question.
He said, "Did the Clinton campaign obtain that information that they mined?"
Well, they would have had to have obtained it, and you know, I think that there were multiple things going on. You know, you had the Steele dossier being created, and you had this effort here. I think all this was going to be assembled in an effort to smear Trump, but it blew up in their faces because none of it was true.
Thank you, Seth.
Thank you.
Let's go to Zoltan in Lawrence, Michigan. You're on the air.
Yes, I had two comments. One was about the Watergate comparison, and in reality, this isn't even close to Watergate. All Watergate was a low-level break-in that ultimately was tried to cover up by Nixon. Pretty trivial stuff. Now, this right here, this is very telling that the guy is indicted, and the crime that he's accused of is lying, and we got him on the lying, when in reality he was involved in an ongoing coup attempt against an existing president, and we're talking about whether he lied to the FBI. Where's the real crime here? We're getting excited about lying.
That is a very good point. This was an attempt to destroy a presidency, and I called it that in some of my reporting. This was a coup attempt. It was a coup attempt. Hillary lost the election. They couldn't deal with the loss, and they said, "We're just going to bring this guy down." And that is a very good point.
Oh, okay. So thank you, Zoltan. Let's go to
another thing that's interesting about the quote unquote coup attempt. You remember that Alan Dershowitz said that the discussions inside the FBI of using the 25th Amendment to get rid of Trump was also a coup attempt. Because they had no 25th Amendment grounds to remove him.
Exactly.
The 25th Amendment is for incapacity. It's not for political differences. And the movement, this wide-ranging conspiracy to get rid of Trump has so many different threads. It's quite remarkable. It was quite a remarkable effort. They went at it 24/7, 365, and the left-wing media helped them.
Indeed. Champaign, Illinois. Zoe, you're on the air.
Okay. Jim, I hope I'm not going to repeat, because I have had real bad sound on my phone line, and I couldn't hear what you were saying. But I think one of the most serious parts of this whole thing is the the violation of the president's security of his at the White House, and that they were continually spying on him, and that's, and we don't know who that's. Not only was it passed on to her opponents, like the Obama-Hillary people, but it was passed on to possibly, and I don't know this, but possibly foreign entities, and we don't know. And this is so dangerous security-wise to our country, and a president needs to be able to do his presidential work in mm-hmm. privacy more than any other person in the country, really.
Right.
And so, and I do think possibly that I'm hoping, I think right now we're in Obama third term, right, is what I really think. That's my personal opinion. I'm not speaking for anyone else. But I'm hoping that some of these lower-level people, the reason they're not indicted for bigger things is that they've turned state's evidence and they're going to they're singing and they're going to give information that's going to help them get bigger fish. I hope. That's what I'm hoping.
Thank you, Zoe. Appreciate your call. And what about this aspect? I mean, we're talking about this going on while he is the president of the United States. Are these Obama holdovers that are complicit in obtaining and mining this information?
Oh, we know that. Well, we know there are holdovers in every administration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these professional bureaucrats and these people, they is a revolving door. You know, they're working for Congress one day, the next day they're on K Street, and the next day they're running a federal agency, or they're involved in the administration of a federal agency. So, you know, yeah, there's holdovers. I mean, the so-called whistleblower on the other big nothing burger, the Zelensky Trump phone call, was an Obama torpedo.
Yeah, yeah.
If you recall,
mm-hmm.
Vindman was an Obama torpedo. So I just, you know, that's one of the things you have to realize is these professional bureaucrats, you know, these people that are professional government employees that go from one administration to the next, you know, they call the political appointees the Christmas help.
Hmm.
Because they're temporary.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you have these people that are inside government for years and years and years, and they obviously do have political loyalty. I mean, we know that from what came out of the FBI and the plotting to get Trump. I mean, there's so much to this. It's such a major story. And for the media to be ignoring this, it's just, well, they're ignoring it because they're trying to save face. If they have to report it, they're going to make themselves look ridiculous.
Greg is calling from Bloomington, Illinois. Greg, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I think in our country, a lot of times we have this defeatist attitude, and we just assume that, you know, Hillary is untouchable. Anything we try to do to overtake the big shots, we're just going to lose. But we've seen a pretty much a good traction, and the tide's turning a lot of times. We're seeing what's going on in Canada with the truckers. We see some of these executives dropping for CNN, that the news agencies and that. But the rubber meets the road somewhere. And I'd like to ask your guest, what can we do to make sure that the folks are held accountable? I know, I don't mean to be naive, and I know it's not easy, but is there anything that he suggests that we do to make this stick?
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, it's a good question. When it comes to getting people indicted, I don't know what you can do other than rely on the honesty of the Justice Department or the legal authorities to do what's right. Mm-hmm. But see, those authorities themselves are politicized. You know, we have an attorney general who says that the greatest terror threat in the United States is white Christian guys, white supremacists, which is demonstrably false.
Mm-hmm.
So, the thing is that when you are relying on the honesty of other people who are political, I don't know. I'm not going to say there's no hope. I just don't know. I don't have an answer on how to make sure that, you know,
You know, Court, if I could add this as well to the mix here, is that we have a media that's dedicated to keeping the American people ignorant on keeping the American people ignorant on this very thing. And it's very important for people who are like listening to this program to take a link to your story, send it out, take links here to Crosstalk and send them out.
You know, how we can make sure that, you know, an individual is doing their job in terms of a prosecution or you know, indicting Hillary Clinton, I don't know that you can ensure that. One thing we can do in short term is make sure that we vote and give Congress back to the Republicans so they can impeach and remove Biden and this visa fraudster Mayorkas that runs Homeland Security.
Do you believe
that's one thing we could do?
Do you believe that the Republicans, if they take control, will actually do that? Would they have the backbone to actually proceed with that?
Well, normally, I might say they wouldn't have the backbone because, you know, the Republican Party always has the ability to snatch victory from the draws of defeat. You know, they always manage to foul it up somehow. Hmm. You know, all you have to do is look at what they did to Steve King.
Hmm.
They let him twist in the wind and they got rid of him, even though he was right. So, but I think in this case, I think that it is quite possible, as I look at some of the candidates who are running, who are hardcore conservative, America First, pro-Trump, Republicans, you know, J.D. Vance out in Ohio, this other fellow, McCarthy. I think, and I don't mean Kevin McCarthy, another McCarthy that's running. I don't recall where right now. You know, I think if enough of that type of Republican can get into the House, I think McCarthy and others will have no choice. They'll have to impeach. And if we take the Senate, I have a feeling there's a good chance he could be convicted.
Two-thirds? Don't they need two-thirds of the Senate?
Or? I think if Republicans take control of the Senate, I think he could be convicted. Who knows, though? Yeah, and that's the other thing. You know, is Lindsey Graham going to vote to convict? Is Romney going to vote to convict?
Hmm.
Yep. But, you know, I mean, the goal has to be removing Biden from power through impeachment.
Hmm.
What he's doing with the border alone is treason. It's just out-and-out treason.
We got to take a break right here. We'll come back. Dwayne, stay on the line there, and Eddie and Michael and John. We'll get to as many calls as we can here in our final segment. This is Crosstalk coming your way from VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Well, it's making national news with many because recently Joe Biden appointed as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition in the Office of Nuclear Energy in the Department of Energy, young man known as Sam Brenton. Well, he is promoting the LGBTQ lifestyle and, according to reports and pictures, often dresses as a drag queen. He goes on to talk about things that, frankly, you don't want to know about, and we're not talking about on Christian radio. What does all this tell us? It tells us Romans 1 is coming to pass. God reveals in his word that when he gives over a nation, you see the flourishing of certain things. The worship of nature, aren't we seeing that? Pantheism, all is God, pantheism, God is in all, the worship of nature. And one of the other things you see is the mainstreaming of the homosexual lifestyle, perversion beyond belief. Now is the time to repent. I'm Brandon House for the Worldview Report.
Yeah.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Court Kirkwood, our guest here today, contributing writer to The New American. You can read his article, thenewamerican.com. We're talking about the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, circling back to the Clinton campaign. Duane, you've been holding a long time in Phoenix. Thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. You know, something that a lot of people aren't thinking of, and bear with me here. May 3rd, 1975, Catherine Coleman prophesied there would come an hour when the United States of America would have a president and vice president who was not elected by the people. What if, and this is going to be wild, what if this whole thing in Ukraine is Biden has a great relationship with communist Russia? We already know that Biden's a communist. What if he's using Russia to go into Ukraine and destroy the evidence that the Ukrainian government has against his son and himself?
Okay, well, I have our guests respond to that.
I have no idea. That's a pretty wild theory. Mm-hmm. I guess anything's possible. That would be certainly I don't really have a response to that.
Eddie in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Jim. I love your program. I do believe you're 100% right about the two-tier justice system. There are some, I believe, that are above the law. I've just got one question. Remember who sold Russia yellow cake uranium? Remember that. Hillary Clinton. Thank you.
Thank you, Eddie.
Okay.
John in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. I have no faith in the system, the DOJ, the CIA, the FBI, Homeland Security, or the Road Commission. And I say that in jest for people who don't understand a sense of humor.
Okay.
Comey, for years, tried to indict President Trump on the, quote, Russian collusion every day on TV. Then Adam Schiff, oh, this is terrible. These people dangle in the wind. Nothing ever happens to them. Hillary, I guess all of us listening are deplorable. And Obama, we should all hang on to our guns and our religion. The sad part is 100 years from now, if we still have a country, and all I have to do is look at Canada, you're going to read a history book and you're going to think President Trump was an evil person from hell with horns on his head. This person, the president right now, is more worried about the Russian border than he is about El Paso and Ciudad Juarez.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable, and I'll leave my thoughts there, and thank you for such an excellent program and an excellent guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John, for the call.
Thank you. Yeah, the great what is going on at the border and this country worrying about Ukraine's border and not our own is an absolute scandal. But let's remember something. This is not – what's going on at the border – is not a failure of policy. It's not incompetence. It's not because Biden doesn't know what he's doing. This border invasion is purposeful, and our Homeland Security Secretary has repeatedly promised and said, I will not enforce U.S. immigration law. I will not deport illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
That's treason. It's aiding and abetting illegal immigration. Mm-hmm. That is a felony, and they can word it any way they want with discretion and use a lot of legal mumbo jumbo to hide that fact. But the fact of the matter is we have a president and his Homeland Security secretary who are openly violating federal law by allowing us illegal immigration to continue and not closing the border and stopping it.
Yeah.
So, and that is going to be one of the major grounds for impeachment if Biden's impeached.
Let's go to Michael in Lawrence, Michigan. You're on the air, Michael.
Hey, I appreciate you taking the call. I was wondering if you guys could touch on, I feel like we're really stuck in a left-right paradigm. You know, I never thought Trump was the answer. I don't think the Republicans are the answer. You know, I know we were warned about a two-party system. I believe we are seeing the effects of that now. But, I mean, I feel like also this whole thing in Canada with the truckers and everything, I believe they've played this scenario out to every possible angle when they put those vaccine mandates down. And I think they're prepared to, you know, handle whatever angle would have been played out. I think they're ready for this angle.
So
what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, thank you. Are we just stuck in all of this, Court?
I agree that you know, there's a deep state. It is run by people in both parties. I think we are in the midst of a communist, certainly a culturally communist revolution from the top down. These riots in the streets over George Floyd and the Blake hoax riots, the vaccine mandates, these totalitarian mask mandates, narrative you see coming out of the World Economic Forum, this guy Klaus Schwab. Yeah, I agree with the caller that we are in trouble, and the left-right paradigm is, in some sense, crippling our ability to respond to it. You know, the other thing we have to understand is that the entirety of American political debate does take place on liberal grounds. Many of which, you know, so we do have to understand that, and that's part of the reason we can't make progress. But that's a subject for another day.
Court, we appreciate we're out of time here on the program today, but thank you for your in-depth article, and thank you for coming and joining our listeners here today, even on short notice, to address this very important issue.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Court Kirkwood, our guest here today, contributing writer to The New American, and you can check it out, thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. And friends, keep in mind, look at the bigger picture to all of this as well. We're very much in a spiritual battle, aren't we? And certainly it's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. We see that. And so we keep our trust, we keep our hope in the Lord. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.